Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to something new, and I hope something a little bit special. The first episode of our brand new midweek drop, White Wine Question Time, Something from the Cellar. Over the last 4 years that I've been making this show, we have built up quite a cellar of vintage episodes with more than 200 truly fascinating guests that I thought were worth revisiting. Not in their entirety, I appreciate you're busy people, but served up in small shot-sized portions as a little midweek treat. Hence, Something from the Cellar, a brand new drop every Tuesday that rummages around in the cellar of our back catalogue to serve up some of the best bits from some of our very best guests. This week, talking parenting and the many shapes and sizes families come in these days, the pressures, the pitfalls, and the bits no one tells you about, with three kick-ass guests. We're going to start with Una Healy, who stormed the charts in the early noughties with the Saturdays and unexpectedly found herself as a single parent to two young children when her marriage fell apart, all the while juggling her solo career in the midst of a divorce that went on to reframe her family unit.
Did you not find that once you had kids, for me, I found I sort of lost a bit of my own identity for a while. I just became Ben's mum, which I was really happy to be. Mm. But then I started to miss elements of me. Like, I missed work me. I missed fun me that wasn't always tired. And I was really keen to reclaim those facets of my old personality. So I started to stick those bits back on again. And I sort of miss my bravery from when I was younger. Like, you know, when you're like, you're applying for anything and you're talking about, you're at this audition, you think, ah, oh, well, if not, I'll just go to New York. Like, I wish I could have that simplistic bravery now, because you can't. You've got kids. You're like, well, I couldn't go to New York. I mean, I'd have to find a school and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And you just talk yourself out of stuff because reality bites.
Yeah, the responsibility is much greater now. And, you know, but I actually, throughout the group, you know, I had both Aoife and Tadhg while I was in the Saturdays, and I look back and there's loads of pictures of me with a big pregnant belly on stage doing the tours. So I kind of like, they sort of were born into the group as well. And I remember when I did The Voice of Ireland, I did that for 2 years. I was pregnant during the battles section of that, and then I had Tadhg, and I was back doing the live shows He was only 6 weeks old, but I was back after Aoife. Only after 5 weeks, I was back on stage with the girls. I think a lot of people would probably look at that and say that's way too soon. And he probably was, but that's just how it was at the time. And as they say, you have to make hay while the sun shines. And I was very, very, very lucky to my mum was very hands on and always has been and still is to this day. Like, I don't know how I would do it without her. So she came even out to LA when we shot the reality show with the E Channel, the Chasing the Saturdays. Aoife was only, she's only 6 months old, and she came out there. So she was flying across to LA with me. So I just took her with me. I sort of, rather than adapting my life to her, she slotted in. And that's just how it always has been. But not without that help that I have and support with my family, with my mum in particular. I don't think I would have been able to do it without her.
So you didn't really have an opportunity to lose your identity with the kids, because you were still being Una from the Saturdays, yeah, as well as a new mum.
I threw myself straight back into it. And I know that a lot of people wouldn't agree with that, but that it was just, I made a conscious decision to do that at the time. And I don't regret it either, you know. I've had plenty of time to make up for it in the, you know, bonding with the kids scenario, with everything with lockdown. You know, I think that's kind of why I don't want to complain about it, because in that first lockdown as well, when it was just me and the two kids and it was very lonely and that, at the same time, we really did cement as a unit, the three of us, you know. That's the family, you know, the mum and the two kids. And it was like, that was a very important time, I think, for me. As a person and as a mother and everything, that's like, obviously this whole situation is awful, because people are obviously dying and it's really sad and people are losing their loved ones, and it's very hard to look at it in any positive way, because it's not, you know. But the situation that we're all doing to have to keep safe and try and protect each other is that, to stay at home. And with that staying at home, I did find it was a really good time to really bond, and because they say that, like, you know, they grow up so quickly, which they do. I've noticed that more and more, like nearly every day I feel like they look older. I can actually see them growing older every day, you know. That happens with children, I feel.
That probably was a very important healing time for you then, wasn't it? To be locked down with the kids at a time when you had to reestablish what your family unit was. So whilst it's hard, you only come out of it stronger.
Definitely, yeah. Because I remember the first time I went away with Aoife, when I just first separated, I went on holiday with her, because Tig stayed at home and it was just me, and I was like, let's have a little girly holiday. Went out and joined my friends in their parents' villa out in Portugal. So there was two couples there and they were all there as couples with their kids. And it was just me as a single mum with my daughter. And I did feel, I remember walking through the airport and looking around and seeing all the family, like I felt like everyone was a family, and I was the only single person, like, which is not true. There's so many other people in the same position, but it's like when you buy a car, every car you see is the same one, or if you're pregnant, everywhere you look, everyone's pregnant. It's that kind of thing, isn't it? Because you're so conscious of it.
Yeah.
But I was really conscious of the family units that were around, and that word as well, family unit. I was just like, I used to get really upset about it, thinking I don't have that anymore, and look at me on my own, and look at, you know, there'd be a man walking by with his daughter, and then he'd go tell mummy, go tell mummy to get this. No, daddy can't do that right now. And you're like, oh, you know, like not in a begrudging way, because, like, obviously that's fair enough. You know, I was probably like them a couple of years before that, but just kind of heart wrenching a bit at the same time. It's like, oh, that's not me now anymore. And it took a while to get used to the fact that, you know, that mummy is enough, you know. And and then, yeah, that time during lockdown of just me and the kids, like, they have all the love they need and they had each other, and we were just like, it was lovely, actually, to create that bond and to lose that feeling. You know, I don't feel like that at all anymore. I've none of I don't crave that family unit of having to be husband and wife, kids, you know.
It's like an echo chamber coming back at me. It's lovely to hear. It's affirming my own experience as well.
You have to feel, it's a good sign if you're hurting, because you have to go through that hurt, literally go through the hell to get out the other side. There's no way around it. There's no way to jump across it or go, get around the edges. You have to go through it. And you will, and it will hurt, but you will, it does, you feel so much better. I don't look back now, and also I don't hold that resentment like I did for a while. I felt, you know, a little bit bitter, to be honest, you know, and just, you know, a bit of a chip on the shoulder and all that kind of thing. And now I'm like, I find just such relief in not feeling that anymore, and I don't have any hate. I don't have that. I just don't feel hate or hatred or resentment or anything now. just, I'm happy to move on, and I'm in a really good place now. Really good.
Next up, it's EastEnders veteran Charlie Brooks. Now, she joined the soap as a 17-year-old and has since, on her sabbaticals from Albert Square, gone on to conquer the reality TV world, becoming a Queen of the Jungle in 2012 and the year before that, winning the Strictly Come Dancing Christmas special. But here she shares one of the best decisions she thinks she ever made. The work that she and her ex-partner Tony have put into their relationships as parents to their daughter Kiki, especially following their separation, including their decision to live separately, but in the same property.
One has definitely got to be straight away to stop drinking, I think, the last year, just because for everything that we've spoken about, you know, yeah. And how I feel I'm becoming much more cemented in who I am and creative and trusting and all of those things. You know, I think it's had such a positive impact on my life. And who knows? I'm not saying it's forever. You know, I don't know, because I fucking love a drink and I love a party. Who doesn't?
But right now it's right.
Right now it's absolutely 100% one of the best things I've ever done. Yeah. Because I have an overactive mind, Kate. You know, it beats me up and go to war with myself occasionally. And I think lots of people will be able to relate to that.
Well, are you somebody that sits there the following day and then dissects what happened the night before and then just beat yourself with a big old stick about it?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Even sometimes when I might not need to, but I'd sort of walk down the street and go, oh.
Yeah.
Just like the fear.
The fear.
I don't have that now. I wake up with, you know, hangover free, and it's amazing. So that is definitely one. And one of the other best decisions I've ever made in my life.
Would it be the fact that you were so determined to keep things nice with you and Tony so that Kiki had the best form of parenting that you could both give her whilst not being together?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, when Tony and I were together, we used to say, you know when you know, and we're going to grow old together. And it turns out I am going to grow old with him. He's going to get he's going to get older quicker than I am, because he's older, much older. But we are going to grow old together, just in a very different way. You know, and like I said, I've sort of led by example with my own parents, but he is absolutely my family and nothing will ever change that. And it's not always been easy. He's in Ibiza for 8 or 9 months out of the year. Bringing up Kiki on my own a lot of the time was tough, and we've really had to navigate our way around that. But whatever happens, no matter how much we fall out, which we have done big time, it's not always plain sailing, but 80% of the time it is, you know. And he's a good man and he's looked after us. He's a character. I love him to bits. He can be an arsehole sometimes, but nobody's perfect, are they?
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure you can too. You know, we all have it in us, don't we?
You either learn to accept somebody for how they are and then just go on through life like that through that acceptance, or you fight it constantly, you know? Mm. And for us, I think we just loved each other too much. We just, you know, our care for each other is too deep. And I also think, you know, nobody had an affair, or we were quite lucky that... I mean, if I don't like something, generally I change it. And so whether that's a good thing or a bad thing, whether that means I run away from commitment and I don't work through something, and ultimately that'll, I don't know, I'm 40 and still single. And, you know, so I don't know if that's true or not, whether that's a good thing or not.
Well, that's one way of looking at it. Or you could just be somebody that knows when something isn't working and finds a way to very nicely remove yourself from it. Leaving it in as best shape as you possibly can.
Yes.
And what you've done with Tony is remarkable. And in an age where so many children are raised as part of, I hate that term, broken homes, but, you know, for parents that don't live together, I think what you do is love each other flaws and all, but knowing that you don't have to kind of try to make him something you need him to be, because he's not your romantic partner. He's just your parenting partner.
Yeah, and one of my best friends. He's given me a lot of advice, actually, through all of this, you know, creating the business. I've never run a business before. I've only ever had to show up and be somebody else.
I know, exactly.
So it's all new.
Does he still live in the flat above you?
Yeah, yes, he does. I can't get rid of him. He's up there now. I can hear him stumping around with his girlfriend.
Well, how does it work with Kiki then?
She just goes up between the two. I mean, her main bedroom is downstairs and she spends most of her time down here, to be honest. But yeah, she can just go between the two.
It must give her way more than you even realise, I would imagine.
Yeah, yeah, I hope so. I mean, you know, you question everything, don't you? Especially when you're going through a really hard time with a teenager. Oh, what have I done? Is it my fault? Have I been a shit mom? Did I do this wrong? You know, should we have done that? You know, maybe separating actually completely is much better. I mean, we are separated completely because there's not a sexual bone that goes on between us. That sounded really wrong, but you know what I mean.
I know what you mean.
It was the word bone that I threw myself yeah. at that one. You just don't know. There's no such thing as normal. And all you can do is do the best you can and do it like, this is our way and this is how what we know and the only way that we knew how to do it. There was no way we weren't going to be in each other's lives.
And how's it work when you've like when you have a partner? There must, you know, I'd imagine that eventually everybody's cool with it, but it must be a bit of a like, yeah, listen. So Kiki's dad, yeah, he lives just like above your head right now. That's yeah. weird. Is that asking a lot of a new partner?
Well, you know, my ex-partner, Ben, who I was with for sort of 5 or 6 years, who's an amazing human being, you know, we woke up on Christmas Day together, all of us. Like, Tony would come down and we're all getting to bed and open the presents together with Kiki and, you know, because she adores Ben. And I think it can be problematic. I think maybe he probably has more issues with that sort of thing than I do. I've been single for 4 years, so that's the longest I've ever been single.
Wow.
And then I was with Ben before that for 5 or 6 years, who was just really accepting. Tony absolutely adored him. We all went on holiday together, you know. But Tony cried when me and Ben broke up. He actually cried.
I think he just prefers it when he can, like, palm me off on someone else.
Oh, that's, you know what, that's lovely. It's lovely that it can work like that.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
And finally, Ellie Taylor, comedian, host, Strictly contestant, and the star of the Emmy Award-winning Ted Lasso, who shares her trials and tribulations of motherhood in My Child and Other Mistakes, a Sunday Times bestseller that she wrote following the birth of her daughter. And here she pulls no punches, talking about parenthood with the kind of brutal honesty that provoked a huge wave of responses online from our listeners who found her words to be a real comfort blanket.
So, parking the funny, I wanted to talk to you about the honest bits, the bits that will provide proper comfort for people that feel like they can't say things out loud for fear of judgment. Mm. So if you could pick just two searingly honest passages from the book that you would sort of hope to hand to would-be parents as some kind of legacy, what would they be?
I would think the first one would be that... The experience of having a child and loving your child can be completely separate. So you can love your child, or at the beginning for me, it wasn't really love, it was like, I liked my child. But that can be totally separate from the experience of hating the newborn period. I despised it. And there's a bit in the chapter, in the newborn chapter where I say that the newborn bit sucks. Fucking hairy, sweaty bum. It is absolute bullshit. And I wanted to leave my baby. I wanted to walk away from it. And I just wanted to have a walk around River Island and just have 5 minutes fucking peace, because the newborn bit is fucking awful. And I think to be able to say that, and to be able to say that if you are in it and you feel like that, it's okay. And if you are, you know, if you have a 16-year-old and you reflect back on your newborn days and you feel guilty because you didn't enjoy it, that's also okay. Okay, I release you from that guilt. It's absolutely fine and very normal. Don't beat yourself up for not going, oh, it was the most magical time in the newborn bubble. It's rubbish. A lot of it is absolutely rubbish. So that I'd like to say. And then I suppose also how sometimes you
can I just ask though, just about that bit, like, you know, you say it's really, really rubbish. What aspects of it did you find so appalling?
Because I think I wasn't prepared for the mental adjustment that it takes to become a mum. It's not like you shoot out a child and suddenly you are Earth Mother. It's a real period of transition. So I learned subsequently a word called matrescence, which is in the same way adolescence speaks about the period between being a child and being an adult. And it's a process, and it's on a hormonal thing, and it's a physical change, and it's something that cannot be reversed. It's the same between, you know, being a woman going through matrescence and becoming a mother. And that's not something I'd ever heard spoken about. And it rang bells for me, because I was like, of course that was. I was in such a period of flux and felt so weird, and my body was strange, and I was trying to get my head around these strange new feelings and emotions and trying to work out who I now was in this new life. So I think that's what I found hard, in that I wasn't prepared for that. I was prepared for the baby won't sleep and you will be tired, but not really like what the real emotional sort of psychological, I suppose, impact it would be on me.
Yeah, I described it at the time in terms of my physical and emotional self. I felt like a stranger in my own head and body. And part of it, and it depended which way the hormones were blowing. So sometimes I'd run down the stairs to answer the door, and I could feel my postpartum belly sort of jiggling as I did. And some days I could love it, for example, because I would think, my body's extraordinary. It's grown life. And once you watch a body come out of yours, I mean, seriously, that is mind-blowing. And you do have this massive, profound new respect for your body. And then the next day, the hormones could be blowing the other way, and you could just feel like somebody put a fat suit on you and you want to get it off and you just don't know who you are anymore. It's like being burgled and you try and put everything back as it was, but you still know that somebody's been in rummaging around and moved shit.
That is exactly it. That is so spot on. Yeah. I remember just being sort of sat in front of the telly with a baby feeding on me, watching like Gogglebox and being like, how can Giles and Mary talk about Bradley Walsh like everything is normal when my life has fucking imploded and I'm trying to work out who the hell I am? And I remember like being sort of running through things in my head, like, is this what I say? Do I say this stuff? Do I like that? Do you know what I mean? Like trying to play, you're sort of playing the character of who you were before while you transition into this new body. And yeah, the physical aspect I did find hard as well, because it's sort of, you look in this mirror and you've got used to this big, full, if you carried your baby, full of life, and there you are, you're so sort of vital and, you know, just swollen with, I don't know, you feel like a goddess. I'm speaking for myself. I know all women feel like that in pregnancy. But that's certainly how I felt. And then afterwards, you're just like sort of deflated and wobbly. And I had a cesarean, so I had a big scar. And you just look at yourself in the mirror and just think, who is that? That's not my body. That's not my body.
Yeah, it just doesn't feel. I felt like, you know, like at the end of a 14-day holiday, the Lilo's on its last legs. That was my body.
Yeah.
It was like a sort of, it was a defeated Lilo.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And I remember like trying.
But then I'd hate myself for thinking that and think, you know, wait for the wind to change the other way, because I think you are so hormonal, especially if you're breastfeeding and you get that massive rush of milk coming in and you're quite blue and you just don't recognise anything. You leave that hospital and you're like, no one's actually told me what to do next.
I know.
Shit, yeah. Help.
Help, exactly. Yeah, so I think in hindsight, I probably had some sort of postnatal depression, but I didn't kind of realize that till I think really writing the book made me go, oh yeah, I think that's probably what it was, to sort of give my, and sort of allow myself to say that, because I think while I was feeling like that, I thought, well, it's not postnatal depression, you know, don't be that dramatic. But now I feel like it feels quite nice to be able to say, oh no, I think that probably was what it was, and that's okay. You weren't being dramatic, you weren't being weak. It was what it was.
But I think when you're in it, it's hard to see that that's what it is. Reflecting and writing a book is probably really cathartic, to be able to kind of review.
If all women could do that, I would really, I mean, I feel so lucky that I've had the time, you know, it was my job for a while to literally record and order my thoughts. And I did, it was extremely cathartic and really sort of freeing and liberating to sort of, you know, I've got it and I've documented exactly what my experience was. And I've said to my friends, just write down your birth experience, just write it down, because all these sort of fleeting half memories and emotions that you haven't stitched together and sort of, you know, really processed, I think it's so helpful and sort of healing to be able to do that.
Yeah, definitely. And also, it's the strangest time in your life. So to record it, not the strangest, it can be the most extraordinary, but it is a strange time, right? It's a massive transition. Strange sounds like a negative and it's not. It's a huge transition. You are never, after that moment, just responsible for yourself. Like, that in itself is massive. And to note that and document it is probably a really lovely thing to do. But at the time, you're just like, I'm asleep with my eyes open. Don't talk to me.
Yeah.
I'm not writing anything down.
Yeah, of course. Yeah. And I'm, yeah, but I'm so glad I've done it. And I'm so glad it's sort of a record for me and my daughter, if she can ever be asked to read something her annoying mother has written. But if she does, I hope that she realises it's just about honesty, and it's really, it's sort of a love letter to her, really, because as hard as it all is, I'm so glad. And so I wasn't sure if I wanted kids. So I'm so glad I had a child, and it's just, it is the most, and I've already said this, but it really is the most profound thing that's ever happened. And I'm just delighted, and it makes me like the strong, it makes me feel so strong having her, but also it makes you so vulnerable, doesn't it, to have, there's that quote about having your heart walking outside your body. And I think, especially as she's getting older, I really realize that, because, you know, as she has more autonomy, and I go, oh god, don't climb on that wall, that sort of thing. It's terrifying and magical.
They are your greatest joy, but they bring to with them this kind of whole new level of fear that you never knew. You thought you'd had anxiety before. Have a child and watch them cross a road for the first time on their own. Telling It Like It Is, the brilliant Ellie Taylor. And don't forget, you can listen to that and all of the episodes featured here today in full by scrolling through our back catalogue. Simply search for them using the name of the guest you fancy listening to most. This week, we've had Una Healy, Charlie Brooks, and Ellie Taylor. And fear not, I'll be back on Friday with a brand new guest, and more midweek drops will be winging their way to you on Tuesday. Make sure you don't miss them by hitting the follow button. Until then, thanks for your company.
White Wine Question Time is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.